What's up with Jessup? It's the only way to wake up. We state our views, state facts, and then afterwards we make up. From politics, business, to lifestyle, let's get this. Jessup Jong knows all the facts. He has no missed list. This podcast is your place for breaking news and hot takes. It's the only way to wake up. What's up with Jessup?
Welcome back to What's Up with Jessup. Today, this is a very different concept of a podcast episode. I will be literally just reading and working on my paper. And I've never really tried this before, but I've been told that when you're working aloud, it actually helps. So the very easiest thing I will be doing today is just reading through my paper and working on things that I feel like are weird out loud, so that you can have an insight into what is happening in my life and how the processes are for working on a paper. So if you're not as interested in how a paper is edited, I would encourage you to listen to other episodes, like productivity or the actual issues I'm talking about. But this is also an unprecedented look into the paper. So I hope you have fun. I hope this helps. And I will see you next time. So this chapter, I'm looking at the second part of the chapter 2, and it's on professional goals. Aside from ideological differences, understanding the goals of the individuals working in the profession, referred to professional goals in this paper, can better inform why these two expert communities are at odds with one another. These professional goals are shaped by political and physical incentives of the individual rather than overarching ideological goals. This section will first explore the kind of people who are attracted to each community. Then it will examine differences in political and physical incentives through case studies of satellite imagery and actors' approach to public health in North Korea. So when I cut here, the things that I'm working on right now is I don't have the right structure to match these. So I said that I will look at the different kinds of people who are attracted to the different communities. I have the part where it talks about who are attracted in terms of humanitarian aid, but I do not have in the right order people who are attracted for human rights communities. So that's something I will work on, and I'll be reading what I have in order so far so that you can see what the structure is right now, and then I will refer to it as being out of order, or the ones that I will be relocating right now. And then another thing I will be working on is the second part, which is, it says it will examine differences in political and physical incentives through case studies of satellite imagery. But the satellite imagery, this part has a lot of fluff about military history. So if you are really a military history buff, you might have good interest in this and think this is very interesting, but it might also be just unrelevant or irrelevant. So I'm thinking of maybe taking those parts out. Hopefully this is going to be about a page or two that will be completely gone. So you will have unprecedented access to material that will never see the light, pretty much. So that's pretty cool. So going on to the next paragraph, here we go. This section applies Miles' law that where you stand depends on where you sit. This perspective is sometimes criticized for failing to account for the decisions by head of state. In this case, however, understanding actors' incentives can bring more valuable insights into the reasons behind the divide, because existing literature on presidential intent does not differentiate the two expert communities, nor does it explain the reason for a divide among human rights and humanitarian aid organizations in general. Furthermore, the kinds of people attracted to the different communities influence the professional norms. I could add that it's their professional norms. People with similar backgrounds tend to see problems in a similar manner, encouraged by the code of conduct as a professional. So these are all talking about like the professionalization of people. So I think it's interesting because part of it is what kind of people are attracted, like all the way up until individuals' incentives is really about incentives as well. And the rest are pretty much talking about professional. And so I'm now thinking about whether or not this will be, I guess, appropriate for me to put in before, whether people were attracted to each community or after. My initial thought was I would put at least one paragraph, the paragraph I just read, right before the start of any of the things. Well, how about, I am now realizing this is all connected and they all look at professionalization, and it is a good way of, I guess, explaining what professionalization is. But if that's the case, I think I should add to the outline that I will explain what kind of professionalization is. But this really goes into professionalization completely. Huh. I think because they are not really, the kind of people that are attracted to each community is not that comprehensive. I only have probably a paragraph's worth of stuff on what kind of people are attracted. Therefore, I think I should pretty much bring those two right before the theory, because this is a lot of theory. I would have liked the theory to come before everything, but this is so much so connected to the professionalization and the incentives that I should talk about it later. So I should bring the attracted to here. And so I'll read you the next paragraph, which says, both communities have moved towards depoliticization and professionalization of their work, which can be understood as an effort to establish legitimacy and avoid criticism from their peers for having political motives. Prior to the Obama administration, human rights organizations employed extreme rhetoric, arguing for regime change and linking human rights issues with denuclearization, critics have argued that human rights organizations name and shame the North Korean regime to gain tactical concessions rather than in genuine interest for its people, rather than advocate for rights in genuine interests for its people. However, comma, human rights organizations have since broadened their constituency by softening their regime change rhetoric and more narrowly focusing on political prison camps. Humanitarian aid organizations have naturally leaned towards a non-political and professional attitude, not only because of the ethics of humanitarianism, but also because organizations lose access when they show political intentions or publicly criticize the recipient country for human rights violations. Because humanitarian workers have to physically enter the recipient country, they are vulnerable to the pressure of the government. In extreme cases, aid workers could be detained even though the regime would face harsh international criticism. The range of influence that a regime can exert, from denying entry to imprisoning. Wait a minute. So this was quite a extreme or fast transition. So I think I'm going to really look at this one more time, read it again, because I'm supposed to be focusing only on the professionalization of the humanitarian aid community. And so I should really think about humanitarian aid organizations doing that. And I think I need a better topic sentence. So I can say have naturally, it's weird to say natural lean towards. I think it would be better to say humanitarian aid organizations have naturally have, I think I should really modify it and saying classical humanitarian aid organizations have maintained a political, non-political, and professional maintained a professional attitude, not only because of the ethics of humanitarianism, but also because organizations lose access when they show political intentions or publicly criticize the recipient country for human rights violations. See, that's better. I think just changing that one word in the first sentence really changes the meaning of the entire paragraph. And so I think I can continue to the next sentence, which is because humanitarian workers, I think I should add humanitarian aid workers and say because humanitarian aid workers have to physically enter the recipient country, they are vulnerable to the pressure of the government. In extreme cases, aid workers could be detained even though the regime would face harsh international criticism. In extreme cases, the regime could detain aid workers in the face of, yeah. I want to make it a little bit more active voice. You already know this. Easy 101 writing problems, and changing, you know, the sentence from passive to active really changes a lot in your writing. So I'm going to say the regime can can detain aid workers in the face of harsh international criticism. The range of influence a regime can exert, from delaying entry to imprisoning the influence. I'm going to change the range into the influence a regime can exert, ranging from, is a better way of expressing it, and saying that ranging from delaying entry to imprisoning aid workers induces aid workers to cave into its demands. Some organizations have embraced the hybridity of politics in their work to publicly express political intentions. In the case of North Korea, however, these organizations have lost access to enter the country due to their political alignment. So I've pretty much read 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs, and it has taken me 15 minutes, which is quite a lot of time. But I hope this really helped. You can actually listen to the next part in the next episode. So you will be looking forward to it, because you've read part of it and you probably want to learn more about the next part. So here it is, the first 4 paragraphs. And if you want to learn more about funding levels of aid organizations, you'll just have to tune in for the next episode. So I hope that was fun. And we are leaving at a cliffhanger, because there is so much more content to be read. And this is unprecedented access to papers that will be published soon. So we'll tune in next time.
Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.